Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and reading again at verse 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 16. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. There are three ways in which the death of Christ is proclaimed. We read in Romans chapter 3 that God has set him forth, God has set Christ forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Christ was prophesied of in the Old Testament, but now at last God has shown him openly to the world, sending his Son into the world to save sinners. A second way that Christ's death is shown forth is in the preaching of the gospel. He is evidently set forth, crucified among the people, as they hear the preaching of Christ crucified for sinners. And a third way is in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Literally, it is you proclaim his death. You do proclaim his death till he come. And that tells us what the purpose should be of those who come to the table of the Lord. They should come not for themselves to get a name. They should come not just, it's the thing to do, but they should come in order to proclaim Christ's death. They should come as well as to declare that Christ is their Lord, what he means to them, what they believe concerning him, and that they worship him. Ye do show the Lord's death. And you do show the Lord's death till he come. The Lord's Supper is to be observed to the very end of the world, till Christ comes again. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper makes us look back, of course, to his death. You show the Lord's death, but it also points to his coming again, the second time. And so the Lord's Supper is a pledge of Christ's coming again to take his people home to be with himself and to feast on eternal delights in heaven. Well, do you desire the coming of the Lord? Do you long for the coming of the King to come and to set all things right? Child of God, when you come to the Lord's table, do you think about the coming of the Lord? Yes, you desire his presence at his table. And indeed, that is promised. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." But do you desire his literal coming? When he will come the second time to take his people home? This, friends, should be in our thoughts. It should be our heart's desires when the Lord's people come to sit down at the table of the Lord. Here on earth, it is a spiritual feast that is shown in the symbol. But there in heaven, it will be an eternal feast unveiled. And the sacrament of the Lord's Supper will give place to the heavenly supper in glory with Christ himself, literally, which is far better. So, with the Lord's help this morning, we desire to notice three things. First, the participation of the Lord's Supper. Those who come to the Lord's table, they are partaking of the sacrament, and what it means, and what it symbolizes, and what they are to expect. the participation of the Lord's Supper. Secondly, the proclamation in the Lord's Supper. Ye do show the Lord's death. You proclaim the Lord's death. The proclamation in the Lord's Supper. And thirdly, the pledge of the Lord's Supper. The pledge of the coming of Christ that is seen in the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a pledge of Christ's second coming. So these three things with the Lord's help this Sabbath morning. The participation of the Lord's Supper, the proclamation in the Lord's Supper, and the pledge that the Lord's Supper is. The participation, the proclamation, and the pledge. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. The participation of the Lord's Supper. Paul received the revelation of this institution, of this sacrament. He received the revelation of it from the Lord, and he delivered it to the Corinthians. So we see the authority of Christ that is manifest in this ordinance. It is appointed by Christ. And that is essential to a sacrament. A sacrament, what is that? It's a holy ordinance instituted by Christ, wherein, by sensible signs, Christ and the benefits of the new covenant are represented, sealed, and applied to believers. So Christ appointed this sacrament, this ordinance in his church. And not only is the authority of Christ manifest, but his love also appears in the sacrament, because he appointed it in the night in which he was betrayed. It was the last Passover that he was to observe with his disciples, when he, at that point, appointed or instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. The Passover gave place to the Lord's Supper. And it was that night he was going to be betrayed, he was going to be arrested, he was going to be falsely accused, he was going to be crucified the next day. And he knew all of this was to take place. And yet, even though he was occupied with these things, he still appointed this sacrament for his people. Even though he knew that they would all be offended, they would forsake him, yet he gives them the sign and seal of his dying love to them. Having loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And Paul speaks about the frequency of the sacrament. We're not told how often the sacrament of the Lord's Supper should be celebrated. But the Lord Jesus says, For as often as ye drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And Paul, picking up on that, his own comments, we believe, verse 26, our text. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Which tells us that we believe that the sacrament of the Lord's Supper should be celebrated often. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup. The Passover was celebrated once a year, but the Lord has not told us how frequently this sacrament of the Lord's Supper should be observed. But we do know this, that as often as it is observed, the Lord's people should do it in remembrance of him. And so, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, what is involved in it, and it's helpful again to refer to the Shorter Catechism. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament wherein, by giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment, his death is shown forth, and the worthy receivers are, not after a corporal and carnal manner, but by faith made partakers of his body and blood, with all his benefits to their spiritual nourishment and growth in grace. So the Lord Jesus took bread And the minister is to follow the example and take bread. Jesus gave it to the disciples, so the minister gives it to the people. The disciples receive it, and so the Lord's people are to receive the bread by giving and receiving bread and wine according to Christ's appointment. His death is showed forth. So the bread and wine that are given and received, these are the elements, and by the prayer of consecration, they are set apart from a common to a holy use, and they are therefore the symbols of Christ's body and blood. They represent the death of Christ. The Lord Jesus says, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." And he is telling his disciples, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." And so the bread and the wine are the signs, they are the symbols of Christ crucified, Christ's body and blood, and all the benefits of salvation that he has secured by his death on Calvary. Again, the bread and wine are not in reality the body and blood of Christ. They are the symbols of his body and blood. The Lord Jesus said, "This is my body." Well, the disciples were there before him when he said that, so it was impossible for them to think that they were saying that Jesus was saying that this bread is literally his body. His body was right before them. His body could not be in two places at one time. So clearly, the bread is the symbol of Christ's body. It is not transubstantiated, as the Roman Catholics teach. It is not changed into the literal body of Christ. When the Lord Jesus says, "I am the vine, ye are the branches," he does not mean that he is a literal vine, but he is like a vine, or the vine is a sign or a symbol of his person, and the source that he is of their grace and strength. So, "This is my body," the Lord Jesus says, "take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." It is the sign of his body. And the wine is a sign representing his precious blood. But not only is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper a sign of Christ crucified, not only does it represent his death, but the Lord's Supper is a seal to confirm the believer's interest in Christ, and that the believer receives the benefits of his salvation. So the Lord's Supper is a pledge of Christ's promise, the great gospel promise: "Whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." And the forgiveness of sins is confirmed to believers in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, the Lord Jesus tells his disciples, "Drink ye all of it, of this cup. All of you need to drink it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." The cup of wine is symbolizing the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has secured the benefits of the covenant of grace. He has purchased the blessings of salvation for his people, and it is the sign, it is the seal of the forgiveness of sins. "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." And so those who come to the Lord's Supper properly, believingly, they receive the seal, the confirmation of the forgiveness of sins. They get, by the blessing of Christ, a sense of pardon. And what greater blessing could a person ask for? And should we not seek these blessings for ourselves? All of us here should seek the blessings of salvation. Are you seeking the forgiveness of sins, friend? Whatever your condition here, converted or not, You should be seeking with all your heart these blessings that are offered to you freely in the gospel, life and salvation by Jesus Christ, all the blessings of the covenant of grace secured by the precious blood of Christ are freely offered to you. Are you going to receive them or reject them? Which one? Come. Come and receive these blessings. Open your mouth, the mouth of your soul, and take Christ to yourselves. Pray that God would open your mouth by His Spirit to receive these blessings, that He would give you the hand of faith to take life and salvation and forgiveness of sins to yourselves through Christ, the Savior of sinners. But not only is the sacrament of the Lord's Supper a sign to represent these spiritual blessings, not only is it a seal to confirm these blessings to believers, it is also the means of conveying the reality, conveying Christ and His benefits to the soul. It's more than a sign that points. It's more than a seal to confirm. It is an instrument or the means that communicates grace to the soul, conveying the reality beyond the symbol. And therefore, a person who comes to the Lord's table needs faith. Faith to receive these blessings. And only believers should come to the Lord's table. Or else, coming to the table without faith, you just receive the sign, and you don't receive what is signified. You don't receive the reality. And that should not happen. You should come in order to receive not just the sign, not just the outward form. You should come to receive grace. Therefore, there needs to be an appetite for these spiritual blessings already, previous to coming to the Lord's table. Are you praying for that appetite? Are you saying to God in your prayers, "Lord, I'm so dead, I feel no desire at all. What's wrong with me? I must be dead in trespasses and sins. Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a desire, an appetite for these spiritual blessings." Is not the Lord the hearer of prayer? Is He not offering life and salvation to you that you would have an appetite? So look to Him for these spiritual blessings. And when a believer comes to the Lord's table, and the grace of life and forgiveness is held out and offered in the sacrament, it is the means of communicating grace. That is what the Lord's people do. That's what the believer does, receiving grace. It's a spiritual feeding. And just as the bread and wine, the literal bread and wine, are present to the outward senses, the eyes to see it, the mouth to taste it, so the body and blood of Christ are present to the faith of believers. While they spiritually, and yet it is true, it is real, they spiritually take to themselves Christ crucified and all the benefits of salvation, the benefits of His death. So the result of this is a spiritual nourishment. Their souls are fed. And just as the bread is to the nourishment of the body, so the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, the symbol as it is a means to communicate grace, is the nourishment of the soul. And that is what the Lord's people are looking for. They're looking for the reality, the body and blood of Christ spiritually to be to them the nourishment of their souls, so that they are their graces are increased. They grow in grace, they grow in love, they grow in repentance, they grow in patience, they grow in dependence upon Christ and in love to Him and to one another. And the Lord's Supper is a means of communion with Christ. God's people express their love to Him in the sacrament, and they enjoy fellowship one with another in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is the communion of the body of Christ. The Lord's Supper is also the means of intensifying their obligations. It is to show them how indebted they are to God, and so it is to motivate them to further service to Him, for the further engagement in and to all duties that they owe to their Lord. Well, having considered or made a few remarks on the participation of the Lord's Supper, let's now look at for a moment the proclamation of the Lord's Supper, the proclamation that is in the Lord's Supper. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. So the Lord's Supper is a sign. It is representing the death of Christ. The body of Christ is seen in the bread. The blood of Christ is represented by the wine. They are pictures telling a story. Just as you look at a painting and you see this painting is telling a story, well, the bread and wine are telling about Christ and His work on earth, that He came from heaven, He came into this world, He lived a holy life, and He was obedient to God, He was obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross, and His body was literally broken, His blood was poured out, it was shed, and He gave His life a ransom for many. And that is what the Lord's Supper is telling us about, the death of Christ. But this showing the Lord's death is more than simply a representation. As we mentioned in our introduction, this showing the Lord's death is the Lord's people proclaiming His death. And that, we have to recognize, that's the real meaning of this word. It is to proclaim publicly. It is to publish what Christ has done. You do proclaim the Lord's death. And the Lord Jesus says, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Again, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And now Paul in verse 26 is making a comment, of course, by inspiration. He is commenting on the words of Christ, and he says, for, and he's going to he's referring back to the words of Christ, do this in remembrance of me. Why do this in remembrance of me? Paul says, because. As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. This is what you're doing. What you are doing in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is proclaiming the Lord's death. And that's why you should do this in remembrance of the one who died. Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me. And Paul says, yes, do that, because that's what it is. It's proclaiming his death. In other words, your purpose in coming to the Lord's table should be exactly in line with what the Lord's Supper is. It is a proclamation of his death, so you should remember Christ and his death when you come to the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death. You proclaim his death till he come. Well, thinking for a moment about the words of the Lord Jesus, do this in remembrance of me. It is sad to think how God's people should forget him. Of course, they would never forget who he is, but isn't there very often a practical forgetting? And the name of the Lord is lost to us in our warmth of heart and affections toward him. As far as an effective remembering is concerned, how often we forget him. The Lord Jesus says, as oft as ye drink it, this do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. And he has provided this means of reminding ourselves of Christ, and to not only remind ourselves of Christ, but to remember him with affection, to remember him in a way of repentance, sorrowing over our sin that is against him, and remembering him with love, and remembering him with faith and trust in him. So, to remember him, that should be the intention of God's people as they come to the Lord's table. And they should come to the Lord's table in order to do just what the sacrament is doing. It is proclaiming his death till he come. Believers are coming. They should come with the purpose that the fact of redemption, the death of Christ, what he did on Calvary, that the knowledge of that fact would be preserved, that it would be kept in memory, and that they would do their part in order to propagate that fact, that the knowledge of Christ crucified would be proclaimed, that others would know about it, and they're doing their part when they come to the Lord's table. They're part of causing the knowledge of Christ crucified to be proclaimed. And they're proclaiming as well what the death of Christ means to them. They're saying that Christ is my salvation. I rely on him. I need him for my soul as much as I need food for my body. Christ is indispensable. I cannot do without him. They are showing his death. They are declaring, seeking to declare what they think of Christ, that he is precious to them, and what they believe concerning him. He is all their salvation and all their desire. That's what they are proclaiming when they come to the Lord's table. And so we believe this is partly what is involved in a worthy partaking. Again, we are reminded that those who eat and drink unworthily eat and drink damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body. They are not coming in a proper way and not having in view what Christ has done. They're coming because of other motives, not corresponding with the design and intention of the Lord's Supper. That's an unworthy receiving, and it's a dangerous partaking. It brings them under God's displeasure. If they are God's people, they will not be damned to hell, but they will encounter affliction. So it is dangerous to come to the Lord's table unworthily. But if there is a desire to remember Christ, if there is a desire to proclaim his death, that's a worthy receiving. And it's not a worthy partaking of the Lord's table in the sense of merit. They do not deserve the right to come to the Lord's table. They can't say, well, I've been good all the last 6 months, and therefore I have a right to come to the Lord's table. That's not the kind of worthiness. Only Christ is worthy in a way of merit. He has purchased, he has earned the right to their salvation. But it is worthy in the sense of appropriate, it is suitable, it's a worthy partaking, just what is proper to coming to the Lord's table. It is a worthy attitude that is called for. It is a right purpose in view that is necessary in coming to the table of the Lord. So those who are anticipating coming to the Lord's table, and indeed everyone should be examining themselves, they should be considering, for example, the question in the Shorter Catechism, question 97, what is required to the worthy receiving of the Lord's Supper? It is required of them that would worthily partake of the Lord's Supper that they examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body. Are they making a difference between the bread before them and the real body of Christ? Are they seeing that the bread is the symbol of Christ's body? In other words, it's not common bread. It is nothing less than the symbol of Christ's body, discerning the Lord's body, and they are to look through the symbols to the true body, the real body and blood of Christ, as was broken and shed for them on Calvary, looking beyond the symbol. That's the point. So, examine themselves of their knowledge to discern the Lord's body. Examine themselves of their faith to feed upon Him. Are they trusting in the merits of Christ? Are they depending upon Him for salvation? Examine themselves of their repentance, love, and new obedience, lest coming unworthily they eat and drink judgment to themselves. That's question 97 in the Shorter Catechism. So believers should show or proclaim the Lord's death. How long should this proclamation go on? Should it be indefinitely? Should it continue till the apostles had all died out? And then was the church directed to stop? No. According to our text, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. That brings us thirdly to consider the pledge of the Lord's Supper. The pledge of the Lord's Supper, and that is, the Lord's Supper is a pledge of the second coming of Christ. The Lord's Supper was not a temporary institution. It is an ordinance that was designed to continue until the consummation, the second coming of Christ. It was not just for the apostles in that night in which Christ was betrayed. It was not just for the early church, the apostolic era. The Lord's Supper is not just for times of revival. It is not for just when people feel like it. The Lord's Supper is to be observed to the end of the world. And isn't that encouraging? As long as the world will last, the Lord's Supper will be observed. And doesn't that tell us that there will always be a church on earth to worship God according to His will? And that goes along with the promise of Christ, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So until the very end of time, God's people will be celebrating the Lord's Supper in remembrance of Him. And so the Lord's Supper is a pledge of Christ's second coming. The fact that the church is to remember His death till He comes gives assurance that He will come. And the Lord's Supper is a pledge because it assures of the certainty of Christ's second coming. So isn't that a wonderful thing to think, how in this way the Lord's Supper serves two purposes? It points us back to the redemption work of Christ, His death on Calvary. He died for the sins of His people. The Lord's Supper is pointing back to Calvary. And at the same time, it's pointing us to the future, pointing us to the time when Christ will come again for the comfort of His people. And did you know that the Passover in the Old Testament was just like that? It was a perpetual commemoration. It was an ongoing memorial of the deliverance out of Egypt. The Lord delivered His people from slavery in Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea, and before that they were observing the Passover. It was the night in which the destroying angel would go through Egypt and destroy the firstborn. But the people of Israel, having the blood sprinkled upon the upper doorposts and the side doorposts, the destroying angel would pass over them. And that was because of the blood of the Passover lamb. And so the Passover was to go on being celebrated to point back to that deliverance out of Egypt and the Lord saving his people from bondage. But also the Passover was pointing to the coming of Christ to be a sacrifice for the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So the Passover was pointing to Christ, the Lamb of God. And it was therefore a pledge of his coming the first time. So, likewise, the Lord's Supper is at once a commemoration of the death of Christ, and it is a pledge of his coming again the second time without sin unto salvation. So the Lord's Supper causes us to remember what has taken place in the past, but it points to the future, and it leads us to expect his coming. It leads us to expect his coming, because the Lord's Supper is to be observed till he comes again. And that is also how the Lord's Supper is a means of grace. Just as the Lord's Supper it tends to increase all the graces of the Lord's people, so it increases their expectation of Christ's second coming. And it enlarges their hopes, hope that makes not ashamed. Christ will come, and his glory will be revealed. Christ is the one who comes, and he will come not in the capacity of a sacrifice for sin. He will suffer no more, but as he has triumphed over sin and over the grave, so he will triumph over all his enemies. And God's people desire his coming. But perhaps one trembling believer will say, I have fear at that prospect. Didn't Paul say, when he was in the context of the judgment seat of Christ, knowing therefore the terrors of the Lord, we persuade men? Well, we can answer that by saying that though you tremble at some aspects of the coming of Christ as the judgment day, yet just in that do you not love many aspects that will be brought in when he comes, when all wrongs will be made right, when the slanders that you may have received will be overturned, when all evil will be defeated, and God's people will be openly recognized before the whole world as God's people. They will be openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment. And most of all, your Redeemer, your Savior, who loved you and gave himself for you, he will be glorified in the eyes of the universe. And every knee, not some, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is what will take place when he comes again. And what a wonderful way the Apostle Paul describes believers when he is speaking about how he has kept the faith. He's come to the end of his life on earth. He says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also. Yes, all believers. And how does he describe them? All them that love his appearing. They love his appearing. They love his second coming. Do you love his coming? Do you not love the things that will be displayed and be manifest when he comes? And shouldn't that be the case for God's people today, that it should be that they love His coming. Just like the Old Testament saints, they desired His coming. And we sang in Psalm 96 and verse 11, "Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful." And why should there be such gladness and rejoicing? Verse 13, "For He cometh. For He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with His truth." So the coming of the Lord, His appearing, we should long for that. We should love His coming. "Behold, He cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see Him." And we read about the comfort that is to be had. And even now, in anticipation of His coming by believers. Paul speaks to the writes to the Thessalonians in the first letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 4 and verse 15. "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air." And how precious are these words! "And so shall we ever be with the Lord." Wasn't that Paul's desire, to depart and to be with Christ? And this is how God's people today should comfort one another. We should think about the coming of the Lord. We should think about what will take place at the coming of the Lord. And Paul says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." So the Lord's people show the Lord's death till He come. The Lord's Supper is a pledge of His coming. And how the Lord's people should long for that. Will He not say to His dear people on that day on His right-hand side, "Come"? He's come for them. He's going to say to them, "Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." So the Lord's Supper causes us to remember what has already taken place, pointing back to Calvary, His death. But it also points us to the future. And because it is to observed till He come, we are therefore to expect His coming. And also recognize that the Lord's Supper will cease at His coming. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper will give place to the actual marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. When the Lord Jesus was sitting at the table of one of the chief Pharisees at the Pharisee's house, speaking about the future recompense, one of the persons who were dining with him was brought to think about the feast in heaven, and he is brought to exclaim, this person who was sitting at the table with Christ as they were enjoying a feast in the Pharisee's house. He said, "Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And indeed, the Lord Jesus on another occasion alludes to a great feast in heaven. And those who come to it are blessed, when He says in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11, "And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven." And isn't the Lord's Supper telling us about the heavenly supper above? The gospel provision, all the blessings of salvation, are compared to a great supper. The Lord gives two parables in Matthew and in Luke about a great supper. One is called a marriage supper by a king for his son, and the other in Luke a certain man made a great supper. And the benefits of salvation are described: forgiveness, adoption, sanctification, joy in the Holy Ghost, assurance of God's love. These benefits of salvation are compared to a great feast that we read about in Isaiah chapter 25 and verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people, a feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees, well refined. And that's telling us about the rich abundance and variety of the blessings of salvation. It is telling us that these blessings are suitable to our spiritual needs. And it's telling us about the high satisfaction and enjoyment the blessings of salvation bring to us. Are you not praying for these blessings? The Lord's Supper is telling us about these blessings and the blessings that will be enjoyed most fully in heaven. At the last prayer meeting, we considered a portion found in Psalm 45, "They shall enter into the king's palace," telling us about the certainty of entry and all that will be enjoyed entering into the palace and dwelling in the palace in heaven, the joy and comfort, the security of the palace, and the communion that is enjoyed in the palace in heaven. The Lord's Supper is a time of communion with Christ and His people. And that communion that is enjoyed then will be enjoyed most fully in heaven. And in heaven, where God's people will enjoy communion with Christ, Christ will be glorified. It is a feast that He has prepared. And it is the Lord Jesus Christ who feeds His people. He feeds them now, here on earth, spiritually, through the sacrament. And He will go on feeding them at His own table in glory. Where we also read in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 16, "They shall hunger no more, neither shall they thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And notice how it is the Lamb that feeds them. And the Lamb that was slain is central to the enjoyment. It is the Lamb that was sacrificed, that was typified in the Passover, that is commemorated in the Lord's Supper, and who will be witnessed and I should say received and experienced this great salvation in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. God is most glorified in the sacrifice of Christ. Christ entered with His own blood, and the body that was prepared Him is the body that was broken for them, and it is the body that is now risen and ascended and is at the right hand of God in heaven. And God's people in heaven, their eyes will feast on the glorious sight of His blessed body. And so the Lord's Supper, as believers come to the table, they receive the pledge of the feast in heaven, when the Lord's table will give place to the supper in heaven. And think of how the Lord Jesus desires fellowship with His people. Remember, He desired to eat the Passover with His disciples before He suffered. The Passover was giving place to the Lord's Supper. And how the Lord Jesus desires communion with His people now in the Lord's Supper. Should that encourage God's people to come forward to receive the sacrament, to receive the tokens of His love? And recognizing also that the sacrament is pointing to the time when the Lord Jesus will eat and drink spiritually with his people in glory, and how the Lord Jesus desires his people to be with him in heaven itself. On the night in which the Lord Jesus was betrayed, we read that he said, "I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And perhaps the simple explanation of these words is that the Jewish Passover was going to be forever replaced by the Lord's Supper as a Christian ordinance. But the application of these words, the fullest application, is to the kingdom of heaven, the celestial kingdom in glory. The wine, even in the Lord's Supper, will give place to the new wine in heaven. And that is the rivers of pleasures that Christ will give to his people to drink. As the psalmist said, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." And how wonderful it is to think, as the Lord's people make their journey in this wilderness, surrounded by enemies, that even now, in the Lord's Supper, a table is prepared for them in the wilderness, in the presence of their foes here on earth. But this table of the Lord is the pledge of the eternal feast that they will enjoy with Christ in heaven, when they are literally with him, when it is so much better with them, when they are enjoying communion with him in the highest degree, made perfectly blessed in the full enjoying of God to all eternity. And should this not make God's people glad? Shouldn't they be comforted at the prospect of his coming, when he will comfort his people? Let us then be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Well, we have considered the participation at the Lord's Supper, the proclamation that is in the Lord's Supper, and the pledge of the Lord's Supper. And as we conclude, we want to ask our friends, are you called to the marriage supper of the Lamb? Are you called effectually? Those who will come and sit down at that table in glory at the marriage supper of the Lamb are those who are called effectually by his Spirit. Are you? Do you have a desire for the spiritual blessings of salvation? Blessings that are offered to you, blessings that are revealed in the Word, blessings that will be enjoyed most fully in heaven. Do you have a desire for these things? Everyone ought to examine themselves. Everyone should examine themselves. And one way to do so is by looking at that question in the Shorter Catechism, question 31. What is effectual calling? Effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit, whereby convincing us of our sin and misery, enlightening our minds in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing our wills, he doth persuade and enable us to embrace Jesus Christ freely offered to us in the gospel. Now, whether or not you have experienced this effectual call, this inward, effective call, yet recognize this, friend, that you are being called outwardly and yet truly called. You are called in this outward way. You are invited to come and receive the blessings of salvation. Isn't that what we are told in Isaiah chapter 55? "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come and receive the blessings of salvation. It's a feast of fat things, rich and abundant provision for you. If only you will come and receive. Don't bring something with you. Don't bring a price. Don't bring some money. Don't bring your good works. Acknowledge you have nothing. And that Christ is alone your hope, all your salvation, your only hope of salvation. And recognize this, friends, that all things are ready. Come. Don't refuse the wedding invitation. Come to the marriage supper. Be united to Christ. Consent to the terms. Consent to being His spiritual bride. But don't come in your own filthy rags. That is, don't hold on to them. Be thankful that a wedding garment is offered to you. And that is the righteousness of Christ. Be clothed with His righteousness. We read about one who came to the marriage without a wedding garment. And the king rejected him because he rejected the wedding garment. Oh, friend, come and be clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And come to Christ and receive forgiveness of sins. And come to Christ and partake of the heavenly bread, the bread of life. Come to Christ and be married to Him. Marriage is a joyful thing. And a marriage feast is even more joyful. Come to the Savior of sinners and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and come and feast upon eternal delights and gaze upon the heavenly bridegroom. Behold the Lamb of God, and you will enter into His joy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Yes, and you will enter into the King's palace. They shall be brought with gladness great and mirth on every side into the palace of the King, and there they shall abide. And in the meantime, those who have an appetite for the spiritual blessings are invited to the Lord's table. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. And may He bless His word. Let us pray.